Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with last-minute efforts to avoid a default with all eyes on the United States Senate, where a deal is in the works, but what happens after that when it gets to the House remains uncertain. Jim Manley, who served as a senior advisor to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for 6 years and before that was an aide to Senator Ted Kennedy for 12 years, joins us with an assessment of the sudden bipartisanship and spirit of compromise on display between Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell. Then we'll speak with Tim Dickinson about his article in the current Rolling Stone, Inside the Republican Suicide Machine, that reveals the role of Congressman Jim Jordan, the head of the shadow leadership team in the House known as the Jedi Council, that has been dogging Speaker Boehner at every turn and still may try to thwart him on avoiding a default, as well as challenge his leadership later should Boehner allow a vote of the full House before Thursday. Then finally, we'll look into the state of polarization in Washington with Keith Poole, a professor of political science at the University of Georgia and author of Polarized America, The Dance of Ideology and Unequal Riches. We'll discuss the reasons why our politics have become so poisonous, polarized, and gridlocked, and whether the Republicans will pay a price for the Tea Party's unpopular exercise in government by extortion. And joining us now is Jim Manley, who's a senior director at Quinn Gillespie and Associates Public Affairs in Washington, D.C., a 21-year veteran of the United States Senate. He served as senior advisor to Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid for 6 years and before that served 12 years as an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jim Manley.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
And it looks as though a deal is close The Senate Majority Leader and the Minority Leader have shown, a lot of grace and bipartisanship. So that seems to be the good news. But you tweeted fairly recently that Senator Ted Cruz could still tank the deal and cause a default. Tell me it's not true.
Yeah, it's entirely true. Under the rules of the Senate, any one senator has enormous ability to slow down, stop, and delay any particular piece of legislation that he or she chooses to do, if she or he decides to do so. He will be under enormous pressure, not only from the country, from the markets, but from his caucus as well, to try and make sure that doesn't happen. But we'll have to wait and see.
So his cohort, Mike Lee, they're both being pretty mum about it. I mean, one of the things I think the public doesn't recognize about this situation, particularly the extent to which the Tea Party caucus is driven to the right by its own constituents. I recall that Senator Mike Lee, he didn't even get elected, did he, in a caucus? He was essentially appointed by a few hundred people in a caucus. They got rid of a sitting U.S. senator who was very quite conservative, Bennett of Utah.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the Senate.
Isn't that a nightmare scenario? And does that ghost of that hang over a lot of this?
Well, let's just agree on this, that the ghost of the Tea Party is hovering over everything on Capitol Hill right now. The good news is that they are heading towards irrelevance. Whether they know it or not, that's a fact. The House Republicans, even at this late hour, keep on demanding changes of Obamacare. But I got a little tip for these guys. They're going to lose, and they're going to lose bad. They can either go along with this and make it easy, or they can do it the hard way. But if Senator Reid and Senator McConnell cut a deal, and I believe that they can, the handwriting's on the wall, and these guys are done.
So would the explanation then for Senator McConnell's apparent change of mind and his belated sense of bipartisanship and compromise, would that be to do with the recent polling? Because he's being challenged by a Tea Party guy, isn't he?
He sure is, and that's the great challenge here. Whatever he does, he's going to have to make sure that his fingerprints aren't too heavily involved on it. If not, that's only going to increase the pressure that he's facing from the right, especially back in the state. I joked earlier today to someone else that the reason why the meeting at the White House was canceled was because McConnell insisted that be the case, so he not be in a position where he's going to be at the White House with the president. This President Obama blessing the deal. So I'm wondering what he got out of it to make sure that the White House meeting was canceled. Now, that's a joke, bad or otherwise. The fact of the matter is the meeting was canceled because they were making so much progress. There was no need for a status check at the White House this afternoon, so that's all fine and well. But, yes, one of the hang-ups right now is that Democrats are hanging tough, determined to try and prevent additional cuts in domestic spending programs under the so-called sequester that are going into effect, that are scheduled to go into effect on January 15th. And Senator McConnell, for the reason we just described, under pressure from the Tea Party, is trying to avoid that happening.
So what about the next step, though? I mean, do we know? Of course, we don't know what's going to happen when it goes to the House, but we're running out of time, aren't we? So
we're running out of time. The deadline is hard and fast, the 17th. And again, as you probably know, Ian, there are still Republicans at this late hour that are suggesting that it doesn't matter if the country defaults. We can continue on this path for weeks, if not months. That's obviously a joke. But there is a little bit of cushion built in. We've got a whole $20 or $30 billion left after the 17th. So that provides a little bit of a window to get a deal done. But again, going back to what you asked me earlier, if Senator Cruz is serious and he's a man of principle, leaving aside what kind of principles he stands for, if he wants, he could delay debate on this bill for at least a week, if not a little bit more. So the pressure is going to be on McConnell and his caucus to get Cruz to back down. And then, like you said, all eyes go to the Senate. All eyes go to the House, and we'll see how they treat it.
Again, I'm speaking with Jim Manley, who's a senior director at Quinn Gillespie and Associates Public Affairs in Washington, D.C., a 21-year veteran of the U.S. Senate. He served as a senior advisor to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for 6 years, and before that served 12 years as an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy. So how can he – I understand the filibuster, and he did what has been widely referred to as a faux filibuster before, but how can Ted Cruz gum up the works for a whole week?
Again, under the rules of the Senate, any one senator has enormous responsibility or ability to try and stall, stop, and delay. First of all, you'll have to Reid will have to file a cloture on the motion to proceed to the bill. That'll take a couple days to process. Then Reid would have to file a cloture on the bill itself, and that'll take a couple days to process. And all of a sudden, you're at a week and a half. Again, but he is going to be facing enormous pressure from not only within his caucus, not that he cares, but also from the American people and the markets as well. The polling out in recent days, including a new Washington Post poll out tonight that I'm not sure many of your readers have read much about, is just devastating for the Republican brand. They're in tatters. They're in disarray. 74% of the American people in a poll out tonight, according to the Washington Post, disapprove of the Republican Party. Much of that blame can be laying directly at the feet of Ted Cruz and Mike Lee.
So do you think then that, they cannot be in an alternative universe to the extent that they don't notice this stuff, Mike Lee and Ted Cruz, surely?
I might have to disagree with you on that one, Ian. Those two guys in particular live in an alternative reality, a bubble that's dominated by Fox News and the right-wing media, where they think that they're winning. Senator Cruz, I believe, just as recently as yesterday, said on one of the Sunday shows that he believed that they were, Republicans, the Tea Party, were winning the debate. Now, all you have to do is to take a quick glance at the NBC Wall Street Journal poll last week to know that that's absolutely, of course, he disagreed with that poll, come to think of it. He said it was a skewed poll. But not only did it have the Republicans facing record-high approval numbers, but it actually showed an uptick in support for Obamacare. So the smart Republicans understand what the game is. I'm not so sure Senator Cruz and Senator Lee actually are in on the joke. Or actually, it's not a joke. It's pretty damn serious.
So this is then some people have argued, Nate Silver has argued, for example, that people's memories aren't that long. What's your sense as a 21-year veteran of the Senate? I don't. Well, we all know that we've never seen this before. This is, by the way, people forget that the government is actually shut down. There's two things going on here. They've shut down the government, and they're threatening to tank the economy. This is like a double-barrel shotgun, right?
You got it. So, yes, based on my years of experience, sometimes the American people's memory, for better or for worse, is a little set on a little too short term. But the fact of the matter is, as you just suggested, when the stock market tanks, when everyone's 401ks, which have been getting better in recent months, goes in the toilet again, no one's going to forget this, I can assure you. Certainly not in 2014 and even beyond that. These guys are just playing with fire. And they, again, the smart ones understand that that's the case. Some of the folks, you know, there's at least 30 or 50 Republicans of the House that don't get it, and there's a handful in the Senate that don't get it either. But they're about to wake up to a new cold, hard reality.
So, Jim Manley, you served as a senior advisor to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for 6 years, and then before that served 12 years as an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy. If you were at Reid's side now, what do you think's going on? Do you think this is all about just holding the line? Because one of the bizarre things about this is that the Republicans are being both the arsonists and the fire brigade, you know.
Yep.
And it, I can't believe anybody takes this seriously. Like, how can they take themselves seriously when they're threatening to do such damage and then saying, oh, by the way, all you have to do is talk to us, you know. And you get the impression that that what they're trying to do, of course, is now they talk about compromise, having eschewed that term for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're talking about compromise. So you'd think that that maybe compromise might be in the wind. Is that, or do you think that, that both the president and Harry Reid can simply stand firm and say, just stop this nonsense and let's just have a clean CR and get this nightmare over with? Is that a lot of Democrats, particularly on the left, are very nervous about any kind of deal. So is there a deal in the works?
Well, there is a deal in the works to do a clean CR and to do a clean debt extension. What exactly is agreed upon beyond that remains to be seen, but those are secondary, tertiary issues. The president's going to stick to his word. He's not going to negotiate until, like I said, the government's open, until debt limit's extended. But the good news is I don't need to advise Senator Reid of anything right now because he sees it better than I do. And you know what he sees? He sees two things. Number one, he's got a united Democratic caucus where even Democrats up for re-election like Mary Landrieu and Pryor in Arkansas aren't afraid of having this debate. And then he looks around and he sees an increasing number of Senate Republicans that have had it with being jerked around by Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. And when he sees dynamics like that, he can tell the president, hold firm, we're going to win this. And I believe in the end that's what's going to be that's what's going to happen.
So this talk then that there's under discussion has been the removing the tax on medical devices, for example. There's some thought being given to repealing a $63 fee that companies must pay for each person they cover under the healthcare overall Obamacare beginning in 2014. That's sort of been leaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Through the cracks here. So, is Obamacare being talked about? Or I mean, I thought the deal was that you can't, you know, let's, you know, just stop this gun to the head business, and then we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I mean, Obamacare—that's off the table. You know, full-scale assault on Obamacare, where there's repeal, implement, you know, 1 year delay in 1 year implementation, et cetera. Currently, the discussions involve, as you just suggested, doing away with the tax on medical devices. The theory was that since these guys were going to make a lot of money with the increased access to Obamacare, they should pay a tax. They're now talking about a delay of 1 or 2 years, will cost a couple $1 billion. And the other issue that I'm aware of is on the table is requiring some income eligibility requirements to get access to Obamacare, which I think most Democrats on face value don't have any problem with. Now, by some accounts, the Democrats are saying you can have one of these but not the other. But I don't think that anyone suggests or I don't think very many people on the Hill believe that should be an insurmountable issue. The real issue is, like I said, these sequester cuts and whether another round scheduled to go into January 15th, are going to go into effect. So one of the things they're talking tonight is setting up a series of negotiations that are supposed to end by the end of December to get our fiscal house in order and get some appropriations, set some appropriation guidelines to try and set some spending limits for next year.
So since it looks as though, just from the press conference with Senator Reid and Senator McConnell, and they're very gracious with each other, as though they were new best friends. Now, so assuming that we get this deal and it goes to the House, again, we discussed the uncertainty of it. Uh-huh. But what's your understanding of what's at play here? We're going to be covering the Jedi Council, as they're called, headed up by Jim Jordan, who seems to be the real challenger and he's got this Tea Party caucus in his pocket. You got Ryan there, who scuttled Senator Susan Collins deal on Saturday.
I mean, there's a guy by the name of Everett Burgess that's being quoted tonight as saying, you know, why in the heck did we shut down the government for 2 weeks and we're not going to get anything? I want something out of this. Well, here's a note to Congressman Burgess. You're not going to get anything. Look, the fact of the matter is there's somewhere between 30 and 50 House Republicans that are part of the Just Say No caucus. Okay, they're not going to vote for anything. I just saw another one of them on CNN, Raul Labrador, saying that unless there's cuts in entitlement spending, he's not going to vote for a debt limit. Well, again, note to Congressman Labrador, there's not going to be cuts in entitlement spending. So the question then is, how many Republicans are going to finally realize that the Republican brand is almost beyond repair, willing to vote for something along with Democrats? I think this is a deal that a majority of the House Democratic Caucus can vote for, along with, the required number of Republicans. And, you can get a deal done. But, again, I don't want to be, I'm a pessimist by nature. I learned that from Reid. So I don't mean to suggest that this is a done deal. What I do mean to suggest is that there's zero attempt. The Republicans have zero leverage right now. They can amend this thing and send it back to the Senate, risking the full faith and credit of the United States. But the Senate's just going to send it right back to them. So these guys are done. They're history. At least in the short term. The question is, what will this country have learned from this experience? And more importantly, what will House and Senate Republicans have learned from this experience? As I've suggested to you, there's a group of smart ones that understand that something's got to change. I'm not so sure how many of those guys there are, however, especially in the House.
Well, Jim Manley, I thank you so much for joining us here today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Jim Manley, who's a senior director at Quinn, Gillespie and Associates Public Affairs in Washington, D.C. He's a 21-year veteran of the United States Senate. He served as senior advisor to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for 6 years, and before that served 12 years as an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with the author of the article in the current Rolling Stone, Inside the Republican Suicide Machine.